begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
We're all back. I'm Morgan Nickelbit, but a kid from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, leading competitive Trade Me internet competitor site. I told you about my new auction site. It's going to be awesome.
Are you going to be the one that finally cracks it?
Yeah, I've got this great idea.
I've got a great idea as well.
It's going to be just like Trade Me, but without the fees.
or the buyers.
Or the sellers. A lot easier.
You know, one thing I would do differently if I was going to launch a Trade Me competitor is not do that stupid thing where you have to pay extra to have a photo in the default listing. I think the default listing should always show a photo because it's just so user hostile. In fact, it's so user hostile that I've installed a Chrome add-on called Gallery Plus, written by former Discourse guest John Bellinger. Works beautifully. It restores the thumbnails to all listings, and it makes Trade Me so much nicer, so much easier.
Yeah, it is. It is very user hostile to not have pictures, isn't it?
Stupid, so stupid. So this week, also stupid, I've invented a drink. Now, I don't want to hear you say anything like I've heard of something like that before, and it's got a different name, because I'm telling you, I invented this. I've called it the lowbrow, and you take a highball. It should be a lowball, probably, to call it a lowbrow. You take a highball and you fill it with ice, and then you fill it with vodka, and then you also fill it with Fanta. And you might say, that just sounds like a really shitty fake screwdriver, but I say, no. Dylan, that's a lowbrow.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah, I'm definitely onto something, and that thing is sugar. I am fucking tripping on it right now, tell you what.
Sugar and booze, this can't go wrong.
No, nothing can possibly go wrong now, Dylan. That's the first thing that's ever gone wrong with Discourse, me mispronouncing that. And definitely not that time you left halfway through to go to the hospital. No, that wasn't a problem. No, that was great. You know what else is great?
No.
This is going to be one of those ones where you're going to need to fight for your right to stick your oar in, man. So tell you what, if you want to actually say stuff, you should.
would you just let me go first?
All right, go on then. You go first.
Well, I thought you had a thing first.
Yeah, I do. So the thing that I've got is the winner of the Epic Beer Orcon Pale Ale. That I decided to give some away of last week, like a fool. I never should have done it. Sorry, say that.
The person to whom you're going to give some of your beer to, whom?
That's right. The winner is Nick Steenhout. Congratulations, Nick. Your desktop is unbelievably boring. If I had made a selection based on appearance, I probably shouldn't say who would have won. Should I say who would have won?
No,
anyway, the selection was a random number draw. I got random.org to give me a number, and the number that came up.
And obviously, we had the local community constable standing by.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And everyone, I had to answer obviously a skill question and so on.
Yeah,
and now you all get a meat tray. Linda, if I had been making a selection of my own rather than letting randomness take over, Brendan, you totally would have won. That kitten with the Desert Eagle and Rambo-style headband riding a flame-breathing unicorn in front of a Minecraft-style rainbow background, that is the best.
I've seen it.
That is the best.
Seen it.
I'm sure you have. I don't expect that he invented it, but it's friggin' cool. That's all.
All right, I accept that.
Yeah.
So, what, he should email you, or you suppose you email him and say, hey, tell me where to send the beer, and then beer will be sent.
Yeah, Nick, you need to give me an address to deliver to. It will need to be an address, I guess, where you can sign, although I don't actually know how I'm going to send it. Yeah, and Dylan, you do sound muffled to me. The chat room is saying that you sound muffled. I think you need to sort your shit out.
Am I less muffled now? I don't know. I can't hear myself.
That's better. That's better. Yeah, right. What do you mean you can't hear yourself? Have you got headphones on?
Yeah, actually, I'm not sure why I can't hear myself. Hang on.
Num nuts.
Now can I hear myself? I'm not sure. No, I still can't hear myself.
Well, I mean, that's less important than if I couldn't hear me.
I mean, obviously I can hear the reverberations through my skull.
Yeah, yeah.
But beyond that, don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations, Nick. Send your address through. Daytime address, I guess. So, you know, wherever you
work. Well, you know, beer time address.
Beer time address. That's, well, I don't know. You don't have to drink it when it arrives. In fact, you should probably put it in the fridge. I mean, I'm not going to pack it with CO2 or anything. So what do we normally do on this show? I'm sure there's normally a thing that we do. We introduce a guest.
We've got a guest on Discourse.
And when we say that that guest is Ben Gracewood, the chat room goes, oh, fucking hell again. But good news, everybody. This week, we don't have Ben on.
No, great.
Or anyone.
Okay. Well, so we'll shuffle past that guest segment. That's done.
Yep.
Good.
So let's just do Best of Life Hacker, shall we? Get that out of the way. Where's my button? Have I got a button?
It's Best of Life Hacker.
I haven't got one.
No Best of Life Hacker.
No.
Okay. Oh, well.
Hey, Dylan.
Hey.
DiscourseCo.nz/VPN. You know, that's pretty much everything we want to do, really, isn't it?
Well, so let's see you to the show.
Let's, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Corrections.
Actually, I do have a correction. We spoke about the Mitt Romney airplane thing, winding the windows down. Now, I still don't know what to believe, because obviously the guy's a giant liar. like an unbelievable fucking balls out liar. And he seems to get away with it for the most part. So this might be another lie. But it sounds like people who were there reckon that he was making a joke. And if that's the case, you know, it was a bit harsh. It was a bit harsh on him.
I'm pretty sure I heard a recording of it, though. I thought I heard an audio recording of it. And if it was a joke, his delivery
is good.
Is unbelievably bad.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know what to believe. But if it was a joke...
I'm imagining that entirely. I've just you know, made it all up in my head to conform to my existing presuppositions about him.
Yeah. I don't know what to think. I hope he doesn't get elected, but man, Obama did so... It's not that Romney did well in that first presidential debate, but Obama did so badly.
Well, he didn't do badly, he just didn't do well. Like, it was frustrating because you sit there and you watch, you know, I've seen Obama's election campaign has put out probably literally thousands of videos now on YouTube.
Yeah.
And every time Mitt Romney says something completely fucking retarded, they put out these videos, quite polished looking videos on YouTube saying, here's what Mitt Romney said and here's how come it's bullshit.
Yeah.
And some of them are quite pointed. And you sort of think, okay, so then maybe Obama can deliver that same, you know, flat out call a spade a fucking liar kind of stuff on the debates. And he didn't.
No, he never
does. Not even a little bit. Even the $713 billion off Medicare, which has been so thoroughly debunked. And yet Mitt Romney was still allowed to say it, seven times. Still got to say it seven times without being challenged.
And Obama just smiled.
Yeah, and then like, rather than saying, well, first of all, that thing is bullshit and here's why, he just kind of said why it was bullshit but didn't say that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very frustrating. Pretty much everyone who watched the debate seems to have made these same observations. So hopefully the next one will be less bullshit ridden.
Yeah. The next one, unfortunately, I think, is the vice president's, isn't it? Yeah. Or has that already happened?
I mean, the next presidential one. I don't care about the vice presidential one.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of Bill O'Reilly and Jon Stewart's The Rumble in the Air Conditioned Auditorium?
I watched every second of it.
I've only seen a bit of it.
It's about an hour and a half long or so. I thought it was great. I thought that now Bill O'Reilly is often surprises me because he is not unreasonable from tip to tail. He's just unreasonable in the middle. So it's very interesting seeing him actually speak. You know, rather than just the bits that. I mean, I don't watch Fox News. I don't really watch any broadcast news, really. Most of what I see of Fox is, you know, the bits that have been exactly on The Daily Show or on Colbert, etc. So my perception of him and the rest of them is that they're just, you know, all liars. They're just shoveling the talking points that are fed to them by their paymasters. But it's clear that he has got some ideas which I think probably are approximately right. He's just also very wrong about a lot of stuff. You know what, if I was, and even the thing with Syria, the embassy bombing, if I had an embassy somewhere and it was attacked and the locals didn't do shit, and I had the military might of the Americans, there's a pretty good chance I'd be sending missiles into a few buildings myself. You know what? I do not believe in turning the other cheek. I just don't think you should necessarily be completely disproportionate. You know, you shouldn't destroy an entire country because you disagree with, you know, a couple of people. But I don't see a problem with killing a few bad guys. You know, because there are actually people that are bad guys in the world, and they do a lot of harm, a lot of murdering and such, and I don't like to have them around. And if they do things like blow up buildings and kill a bunch of people, then fuck them.
All right, I don't disagree with that entirely. It's kind of like the death penalty for me. The only problem I have with it is it seems very frequently to be hard to execute
the right accurately. Person. Yeah,
just the right people.
That's true, and of course that is a big criticism. There have been a lot of missile strikes that have killed a lot of the wrong people. That's definitely true, and that's definitely a huge issue, and possibly an issue that makes it, you know, impossible to actually do what I've just suggested I'm comfortable with. And the death penalty, there's so many times people on death row have been found, you know, by way of new evidence coming to light, usually DNA evidence, for it to have been impossible for them to have committed crimes. So many times it's happened now. Not single digits, dozens and dozens of times. It happens every friggin' month we hear about another group of people who were wrongly convicted. And a lot of people have been executed, and there is just no doubt they didn't do what they were convicted of. There's just no doubt, and that's not okay. That's really not okay. I think that there are people who've given up their right to be alive. I really do think that. I mean, if you... Now, let's say... I'm not going to say anything about your family and children, but let's say you had a person who raped 50 women and cut their bodies up into little pieces after murdering them. You know, at what point does someone's crime go beyond the ordinary punishment of locking them away forever? Because, you know, you can be locked away forever for killing one person, but at some point there must be a greater... you don't like it when I use the word evil. There must be a point where you go beyond that being a just punishment. I mean, there must be. Because because that one person has done so much more harm than the other, right?
No,
so
I get that, but... My main feeling on that is it's there is always the chance of a mistake.
Yeah, that's right. You can't make mistakes.
Unrecoverable mistake.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, if you take David Bain, for example, and you imagine, you know, even though we presumably assume that he did do it, he's been found to be not guilty or not found guilty, whatever, in a retrial. Now, if we'd had the death penalty, possibly he'd already been put to death. Maybe that, you know, like...
Except he clearly
there always remains. There always remains that chance for a case to be revisited.
Yeah,
which obviously is gone once someone's killed.
That's right.
The other thing, the other problem I have with it is it's a very cold, calculated. It's a very cold and calculated thing, and that just doesn't sit right with me. You know, I'm sure someone's shooting at you, you shoot back at them, you kill them, that's fine.
Yeah, the difference between hot blood and cold blood, right?
Yeah, I find that very disconcerting as well. But you've put someone in jail for, you know, 10 years while you discuss all these things, and then you quietly sit them down, strap them to a table, and, you know, push a lethal injection to their veins. I find that very off-putting.
And someone has to do that for you. You know, it's not just the state that executes that person. It is a small group of men and women who walk that person from their cell down a corridor, strap them into a table, put an IV into their vein, and then push some buttons. You know, there are people who actually have to do that. And you don't want people who enjoy it to do it. So by necessity, because those people terrify me, so by necessity, you have to be giving people one of the most horrible jobs you can possibly do, I think. So it's tough. You know, I'm not going to pretend that it's easy. And you're right. You have to be right. And you have to be 100% right. And, you know, there's probably no way of guaranteeing that. I just feel like there should be a worse punishment than locking people up for that
15 minutes.
For that group of the absolute worst people. Possibly. I just want there to never be a chance that they will ever get back out on the street again, that group of people. Now, I think David Bain, for instance, he's probably not going to kill anyone else. He's got no family left. He already killed them all. You know, I don't think he's a great risk to people. So, you know, I don't know. And I mean, he wouldn't have been executed because he still had, what do you call it? The legal thing where you say, no, I didn't do it. Sorry, I'm having a bad sugar brain moment. Anyway, he was still going through the legal process.
Oh, no, absolutely.
He still had, you know, he was still going through, sorry, the appeal process. Obviously, that's the word I was after. So he hadn't run out of appeals. He would not have been executed. Never mind the fact that we don't have the death penalty in New Zealand. You know, obviously that is an aside.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably important that we stay that way because, you know, the countries that do have it, I'm not necessarily a fan of them for it. You know, who's killing the most people is China. And, you know, there's a lot of criticism about that. But I still feel like there are people who should have a harsher punishment than just being locked up, because there's a lot of ways to just get locked up for a long time, and you have to be pretty bad. But then there's people who are even worse, and how do you give them the same punishment as the people who are merely bad? Anyway, I think that there is an obvious segue here, and it's just above your cursor right now. Are you ready to do it as soon as I push the next story button?
Yeah.
And now the news. Next story.
Let's talk about Americans.
Yep.
They're awesome.
I'm a fan of Americans.
A candidate for the Arkansas legislature.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, some part of...
Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah. Yep. I don't know how it's pronounced Arkansas, but all right. His name is Charlie Fuqua.
Fuqua? Fuquad?
Fuqua?
Yeah.
Fuqua? Anyway.
Fuqua,
he wrote a book in 2012, which was this year, I guess, called God's Law, The Only Political Solution. Now, he's a Republican candidate, so major party candidate. I think he's a Republican. Yes, he is a Republican candidate in Arkansas.
Well, he's definitely not going to be a Democrat.
For proper state government.
Yeah.
Here's a passage from his book. The maintenance of civil order in society rests on the foundation of family discipline. Therefore, a child who disrespects his parents must be permanently removed from society in a way that gives an example to all other children of the importance of respect for parents. The death penalty for rebellious children is not something to be taken lightly. The guidelines for administering the death penalty to rebellious children are given in Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21.
Deuteronomy,
sorry. Yeah. Now, he notes that the passage does not give parents blanket authority to kill their children. Rather, parents would have to follow the proper procedures to have the death penalty executed against their children. Fuqua assures the reader that, in his view, the procedure would be really used, and the threat of death would, however, be, quote, a tremendous incentive for children to give proper respect to their parents.
Now this works
on a number of levels, because one, children are very well known for being excellent judges of consequence versus action. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
Clearly, if they know they're going to get killed for being disrespectful, they won't be disrespectful. Just like if they know they're going to have their toys taken off them if they keep throwing them at their brother, they won't throw them at their brother anymore.
Yeah.
And also, children are very well known for having a great understanding of what death is.
Yeah.
The two previous statements may have been sarcastic or ironic.
You know, there are people who... I mean, I was not necessarily... This might come as a shock. I was not necessarily the most respectful to my parents when I was growing up. I don't think I should be put to death for it. But now, maybe also, I'm just being selfish there. Maybe I should have been. Maybe the world would be a better place without me in it. I don't know.
Also worth pointing out that his book also advocates the expulsion of all Muslims from the United States.
Right. So he's a very reasonable person.
Now, he's said his view on Muslims was fairly well accepted by most people.
Oh, bloody hell.
So that's cool. Wow.
What a nutter. How do we let... I mean, the thing is that I guess in our system, you know, we've got, you know, 121 members of parliament at the moment. Who knows how many candidates we've got? A bunch of them are fuckheads. In the States, No, I don't. Well, the candidates, I bet some of them are probably more fuckheaded than this guy. But they will have a smaller profile and they're probably less likely to get a seat, you know, the lunatics. Even under our system, you know, with proportional representation, it's still hard for nutters to get into the House. Also, I mean, some people might disagree, but those people are probably being unreasonable.
It's also fairly unlikely that anyone with those kind of views would end up running for, you know, Labour or National. Or even ACT, or
that's exactly right. First,
or any party you've ever heard of.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That'd be some other, you know, some bullshit fringe party.
They'd be the Charlie Farquhar God awesome party.
Next story.
Now, speaking of crime and punishment, actually, I don't know if that's going to be a theme. Oh, actually, before I get to that, I want to talk about. I suppose we can do a little momentary.
What's your auntie been talking about?
Because when we were talking then about hot-blooded versus cold-blooded, it reminded me of a scene in Revolution, which is J.J. Abrams' new TV series. We may have mentioned it a few weeks ago. It's not very good, but there was a scene when the heroine convinced one of the other characters, the tough-assest motherfucker in the show, actually, so far. He was in the process of... he had a massive sword fight with an enemy, of which there are many in the show. There are lots of enemies. Anyway, he has a massive sword fight, manages to dispatch the guy, and he's about to run him through. And the heroine, who is the worst part of the show, says, "You can't kill him in cold blood. Bitch, it's not cold blood. It's a fucking sword fight, god damn it." I could not believe the scene.
I should have also actually thought of another auntie link in discussing what we were talking about before with the missile strikes on evil people. Yeah. Of course, that also is a fairly fundamental story point of Homeland, which your auntie probably isn't sending you anymore because you just watched it on TV instead.
My auntie has never, may have sent me Homeland on VHS last season, but my auntie would of course, there's no, she wouldn't be able to get it to me fast enough, frankly.
You'd be waiting, you'd be better off to record it and send it to her.
That's right. No, I wouldn't do that. It would be very presumptuous of me to send my auntie a tape.
Gosh, fair enough.
She's got square eyes already, you know. Watching all that TV for me and sending me the best of it. It's a hard job that she does. Are you going to tell me something about Homeland?
But the blowing up of the missile thing is just a fundamental point of the plot of at least the first season and leads well into the second season of Homeland.
I guess, I mean, it's not really spoilers to talk about stuff which is already aired everywhere, is it?
Just the missile killing a whole bunch of children was essentially the thing, and an attempt to kill a terrorist kills a whole bunch of children instead, and that becomes a
and we know that's happened a bunch of times.
There are
friggin' weddings and schools and, you know, people trying to rescue people who had been shot at. I mean, that collateral damage video that WikiLeaks released, I mean, that's a perfect example. You know, just machine gunning people who were trying to provide medical aid to someone who had been wrongly shot at. Just absolutely outrageous behaviour. And it goes on and on and on and on. I'm not suggesting that I am in favour of the way these things are currently done. I'm just saying that, you know, in some hypothetical situation, I'm not necessarily against blowing the fuck out of the baddies. You know, when you can identify them, I'm in favour of it. But, of course, you know, intelligence is, you know, accurate intelligence is hard to come by. You know, so it's a difficult thing to do.
Shall we talk about intelligence? Because I've got another story on that issue.
Next story.
Have you heard of... I can't pronounce it. This is the problem I have with this story. There's a Chinese tech company called Huawei.
Yeah.
Huawei.
Huawei.
What is it?
Huawei? Yeah, sure.
Anyway.
I think they would like it to be pronounced something like Huawei, but...
Huawei?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I'm good with Huawei. What are they called? The House Permanent Intelligence Committee, something along those lines, which is the House of Representatives report, or House of Representatives subcommittee, have released a report, an investigative report on the U.S. national security issues posed by Chinese telecommunications companies Huawei and ZTE, and it was released by the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence from the U.S. House of Representatives. It basically says that the very short summary is Huawei can't be trusted and neither can ZTE. They should never do any business with any US government entity or anything or have anything to do with any critical infrastructure.
Yeah.
And it cites precisely no evidence, as far as I can tell.
Right.
It just says, essentially, it's all the things we've heard before about Huawei and other, which I've probably pronounced it like seven different ways.
That's right.
Basically saying that they have ties to the communist government, they can't be trusted. And it's ridiculous. And weirdly, so this is what's come out in the US, and weirdly and slightly frustratingly and disappointingly, the New Zealand Green Party has come out and said that the New Zealand government should be looking into this as well.
Yeah.
The US is doing this, so now the Green Party is keen to listen to what the US intelligence community has to say.
Mm.
Now, it's worth pointing out that Huawei is the number one telecommunications company in the world in terms of turnover.
Yeah.
They recently took over from Ericsson.
Yeah.
The only area where they're not really dominant is North America.
Yeah.
Everywhere else in the world, they're either number one or number two player. So maybe this is about security and intelligence, and maybe this is about protecting US interests in the name of Cisco and Alcatel-Lucent.
Surely not.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, it just seems like a whole bunch of crap, and it's not crap, but you, simply put,
people have been watching too much 24.
Well, everything I know about Huawei says that they are always willing to be very open with governments and large clients about security. They will happily turn over, you know, source code and aid in the vetting of their products.
Wouldn't curious nerdy engineers have identified anything suspicious in firmware anyway?
Well, you would have thought so, but as far as I can tell, there's nothing ever been identified, except for there was one issue with two consumer grade routers that were just not very secure.
Yeah.
Not that they had back doors in them, they just weren't very secure.
Yeah, but that's not a new story, is it? That's
not
a
new story.
It's
not like Cisco's done the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, Linksys. I don't know. The thing is very frustrating to me, and to see Gareth Hughes on Twitter saying New Zealand should be looking into this before we, you know, allow these people to have anything to do with our broadband network. It's just like, well, it's a bit late for a start that, you know, all our mobile networks have Huawei stuff in them, and, you know, it's very unlikely that any of our data is going to pass between our home and wherever the hell it's going without passing through at least some of it.
Is it just racism?
Xenophobia, I think it is. And it frustrated me. The Cray for Farms thing was a bit the same, that the Green Party can be quite xenophobic when they want to be. Maybe there was a reason, you know, maybe there's arguments about foreign investment and things, but they really seem to be, you know, a bit anti-Asian, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anti-Chinese especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's a giant country. It's got all the money and it's got all the manufacturing and it buys up all the resources. We don't want to offend them because they buy a bunch of our stuff from us. So, I mean, it's a difficult position to be in. The Americans are afraid of them because, you know, they've lost their manufacturing might. They are more owned by the Chinese than probably just about anyone else in the world. And, you know, it's the racism thing, and it's the protectionism thing. It's a whole lot of complicated political and economic stuff all wrapped up into one. And you know what? I mean, I don't see that it's that unfeasible that a company could release hardware that had been, intentionally had backdoors and so on installed. Usually they'd be doing it at the insistence of the US government, though.
The NSA. Well, it was interesting. I discovered also that Motorola Systems, so not Motorola Mobility, who was sold to Google, but Motorola Systems, who do other stuff, mostly radio communications things, but also some systems integration and other bits and pieces.
Yeah.
One of their board members was the former head of the NSA and also the former head of the CIA at a different time.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
That's not dodgy or scary at all.
Yeah, no. But anyway.
Next story.
So we're going to go back into the crime and punishment stuff again for a couple more stories. Now, one of them I'm going to have to be quite careful about, and the other I'm going to be my usual slapdash lunatic. This is actually, it's not the latest news. This is one that I had in the rundown for last week, but you and Ben were so excited to talk about Weedle that I got through about one third of my stories. Comedian appeals sex charge sentence. Now, this is our favourite unnamed comedian somewhere I'm not going to even identify. An Auckland comedian is appealing an 8-month home detention sentence for indecently assaulting his 4-year-old daughter. The man, who has name suppression, as we're all very familiar with, pleaded guilty in March to indecently assaulting the child. Now, here's the thing. He assaulted a child, and he's not even in jail, and he's still appealing. in one sense. I find him extraordinarily unappealing, but there you go. He claims to have no memory of the event because he was so drunk. But he chose to drink, didn't he? He chose.
Choosing to drink and choosing to perform those actions aren't the same thing.
No, they're definitely not the same thing.
30 minutes.
Interestingly, there was This American Life maybe a month or so ago with Mike Birbiglia. Partly involved with Mike Birbiglia about sleep disorders.
Yeah.
And there is actually some very serious sleep disorders around sex.
Yeah.
And that's what it, you know, when I first heard the details, I was like, that's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and if he had gone that way, if he had got a bunch of witnesses and if he had established that he had a history of that problem, I would definitely be more sympathetic to him. But it sounds like the problem is his drunkenness. And that's the way he originally went. I'm very sympathetic to the sleep stuff because I have sleep stuff myself. You know, I've done, you know, sleepwalking and I do lots of sleep talking and I've run around and I've laughed and done all sorts of crazy stuff. And said violent, really violent things in my sleep as well. That I just have no, I have no idea that I said them. And I mean, given that I've run around in my sleep, and I've said violent things in my sleep, you know, it's not so crazy to think that I could potentially be violent in my sleep. Would I be culpable if it's not really me? You know, I am asleep, and if that was the case here, I am more sympathetic. But the fact is, this child was still assaulted. I think I've heard varying stories actually about whether she remembers it or not, the little girl.
Apparently she doesn't.
Yeah.
And my understanding is he now again has a reasonably good relation. You know, he's restored a relationship with her, not with the mother. I mean, he and the mother aren't together anymore, but yeah. They have, you know, he sees her regularly and things like that.
Next story. I mean,
there was never anything to suggest he posed a risk to her. It was just an incident rather than there was no ongoing pattern.
Yeah.
Next story.
Now, this next one I have to be more careful of because it's possible that you know this guy, and I think I'm going to take an unexpected tack on this, as my want. This is Sky TV worker's violent death devastates family. This is Sky TV editor Billy Dawson, who died after being punched. And his attacker has been convicted and jailed for 5 years. Now, here's the thing, and this is something that I didn't know until I read more about it today. Billy got completely pissed, bowled into this group, swore at them before they'd done anything to him, made racist remarks to one of the group. They slapped him a bit and pushed him over. A bouncer came and rescued him from them slapping him. And then instead of fucking off, he started screaming and shouting at this group of people. And then one of them punched him in the face. You know, so this guy didn't deserve to die, obviously. But he was a fucking dickhead. You know, so the family obviously are really upset. But dude, if you don't want to get punched, don't scream and shout, say, make racist remarks and bowl into a big fucking group. This is not a huge shock that this happened. It's a shock that he died because it sounds like he hit his head on the ground after getting punched. You know, and that could happen to anyone. It was obviously an accident. The guy was charged with manslaughter, not murder. But what a fucking knob. Don't scream and shout at people. Don't get drunk and then get angry. All right? Don't get drunk and get angry. If you're angry, stay off the piss.
Yeah, that is interesting that detail didn't sort of come out earlier. I don't know him, but I know people who do.
And it's a fucking bummer that he died, because you don't ever deserve to die for swearing at some people, even for being a racist dickhead. It doesn't say what he said. You know, it might have been something quite mild, or it might have been something really offensive. Now, I mean, I wouldn't punch someone for shouting at me. I punched someone for hitting me, though, in a bar, and I guess I'm lucky he didn't fall over and hit his head, because he was the fucking attacker in that case, but I was the much harder puncher, as it turned out, so he only hit me once. And I only hit him once. And that was all. Anyway, obviously, anyone who's listening who knows this guy, I'm really sorry that you lost your friend, but you have to admit his behaviour was not good. And it was an accident. But, man, this guy gave him a terrible wallop. And obviously that's why he's been charged. He hit him far too hard for it to be entirely accidental that he got badly, badly hurt. I don't think you break bones in someone's face with an honest punch. You know, I'm not necessarily against a bit of honest biffo to resolve silly problems amongst consenting adults. But, you know, there is definitely going much too far. And obviously that went way, way, way too far.
Next story.
You know what else is going too far? Fucking Auckland. No. Auckland is getting too big and it's just going to keep growing. And that's why our property market is so badly broken. And that is upsetting for me.
I saw someone describe it as a city that was heading towards a population of 2 million with a public transport system designed for 500,000.
If that. Yeah, seriously. The central rail loop will make a big difference. But the prediction here, I don't know, Statistics New Zealand, they reckon Auckland's going to be 1.97 million by 2031, which will be, this is 61% of the country's total population growth. Right, not 61% of the total population.
It's like 39% of the population.
And this will push up Auckland's share of the national population from a bit over a third now to 38%, which is too big. We need to be more balanced than this. It's insane that everyone comes to Auckland. But as New Zealand's only real city, it's hard to blame them.
It's like, it's just like Trade Me, though, you see? The people come to where the other people are.
That's right.
And where the stuff is.
Yeah, that's right. I wish we could, maybe Auckland. It's not really...
Any minute now, some small town like Martin's going to stand up and go, we're going to be the new Auckland, and then something terrible's going to happen.
Best of luck. It would be really great if somewhere else...
our rates are lower.
Outshone us. Because, I mean, none of them do, though. Not across the board. I mean, other parts of New Zealand, obviously, are better at individual things. I really enjoy visiting Wellington from time to time, but it's just too little. And the weather's terrible. And they make claims about the amount of sunshine hours a year out, you know, being higher than Auckland's. But also the number of frickin' gusts is way too much higher than Auckland. And honestly, you're just too little. You're too little to be taken seriously. There's not enough to do there. You know, there's lots of lovely places. Maybe we could set up some kind of false flag thing. We could put all our money together, all of we Aucklanders who don't necessarily want Auckland to get to 2 million, and promote some other unsuspecting part of New Zealand to migrants. They don't necessarily, this small town or this other city, doesn't necessarily need to be in on it. Well, just send everyone to Invercargill or something. You know, just set up hundreds of bullshit. We can bribe Lonely Planet people. We can set up hundreds of web pages that talk about Invercargill being New Zealand's biggest city and how it's the best place to move to if you want a job and so on. Maybe not Invercargill, but somewhere like that just definitely isn't. Maybe we could just make it Hamilton.
No, not Hamilton.
Well, I mean, just somewhere maybe nearby, but that isn't Auckland. You know, just get them all to go somewhere else. Especially the returning New Zealanders, because those motherfuckers, I'm tired of those motherfuckers. Yeah, anyway.
Next story.
And I'm sorry, the bucket fountain doesn't cut it.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Like me.
Yep.
Unless it was on yours, don't know if it was. Some people downloaded some music from the internet and now they're going to get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Good. They deserve to.
Eight New Zealanders are now facing action from the Copyright Tribunal for allegedly pirating music. Now, most of them...
We should execute every last one of those motherfuckers.
Absolutely. After, obviously, due process, which in most cases is going to consist of written arguments.
Due process, one, Dylan, you racist?
One of these...
Are you suggesting we give them special showers? Is that what you're saying? You're a fascist.
Too soon.
I don't know if it is too soon.
Okay. One of these people, yep. These pirates, internet ne'er-do-wells...
I just made a Holocaust joke and I'm sorry at all.
No, it's not too soon. Has requested to have an in-person hearing, so they will have a
Does that mean we get to find out who it is? Is it you?
It is not me.
Oh, it's Paul Breslin.
Well, it's only people who download music. No, not anything about downloading Doctor Who or whatever the hell it is he's always into.
Right.
no date has been set for the hearing. The tribunal has 6 members, and I'm not sure where the person, where the hearing will happen or when.
Yeah.
But at some point, this dude is going to, and presumably the industry representatives from RIANZ will stand up in front of 6 members of the copyright tribunal and make the case, and that'll be very interesting. And I certainly hope that it will be widely covered.
Have we had any guidance as to what the penalty is likely to be? Because the maximum fine is $15,000, but that doesn't mean it's what's going to be handed down.
No, there is no guidance. And I guess it's kind of good, I suppose, that there's been a number of cases come through that'll come through all at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it means they can kind of look at each of them and get a feel for it, rather than, you know, if there were just one case and they kind of went, oh, well, $15,000, and the next one came through and they went, oh, wait a second, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have to keep this all in context. I mean, what sort of fine, what sort of punishment does someone get who is going to, the markets on the weekend, having written 5,000 DVDs or CDs of downloaded music and movies and so on and software? What sort of penalty do people who are genuine counterfeiters out in the real world for money, what kind of penalties does those people get? And will this kind of trading of one music track for no money, will there be some kind of proportionality with it? Because if there is, I would suggest that the fines are probably going to be far less than $15,000. But if they take their guidance from the results that we've seen in the US, I think a few jaws are going to drop.
I don't think that's going to happen, but there is also a lack of, there's no guidance in legislation about what it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we, well, I mean, I'm really interested to find out. I am not a music downloader. So, I mean, I'm not really concerned about this personally, but I hope these people who, I mean, let's be honest, were just sharing a very frivolous, trivial thing in the form of music, something that for most of human history has just been a freely passed from person to person thing, where, I mean, I guess everyone was a performer, and it's only been recently that there have been these huge industries around it. So, you know, maybe there's a degree of balance will be there, but who knows? Do we know who the people on the tribunal are?
No, maybe, but no, I don't.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess, you know, obviously we're going to talk about it when it happens. Yeah.
Next story.
And news that I find incredibly obvious and predictable. Shaved heads are dominant and manly, says a study. University of Pennsylvania researcher Albert Mans conducted 3 separate experiments, and I'm not going to say that I suspect Albert is a Baldilocks himself or not, but he probably is. Men with shaved heads are perceived as more dominant and masculine than other gents, but also seen as taller, stronger, and better leaders. In the first of his experience, about 60 people looked at a series of photographs of men of a similar age and wearing similar clothes. The only difference was some were shaved on top, while others had a full head of hair. Each man was rated in terms of how powerful, influential, and authoritative they looked. And on average, the shaved heads topped the rankings. Now, I just want to point out that this is shaved heads, not just bald heads. It's not comb-overs. It's not people who look like they're trying to hide something. You know, it's not those tragic, insecure people. It's people who have fucking gone for it. And I think there is a huge difference there. Anyway, I said this was published in the Social Psychology and Personality Science Journal. And I don't know, it doesn't say who funded it, but I bet it was the Bald Men's Association of America or something. But, you know, there you go.
There is one of those, of course. I'm currently joined by my one-year-old assistant as well, so if you hear any strange noises, that's what that is.
It's definitely not you?
Well, it depends on the strange noises. If it's sort of like a really loud, kind of meaty-sounding fart,
yeah,
that's not me. And but if it's like cooing, gurgling, or crying, that's probably me.
Right.
Next story. Now,
speaking of crying, gurgling, and possibly farting, you may have done all of those. According to this article, I don't even know, I don't even remember where it originally was, but I couldn't read it from there, so I've got it from the New York Daily News. There was an iPad sting set up by I don't know, 60 Minutes or someone. They seeded a bunch of iPads, 10 of them, that were clearly labelled with names and addresses, and they intentionally, accidentally left them in TSA stations and airports across the states.
Now, left them on the little plastic trays or something.
That's right. Exactly right, and just left them there. And now the good news, and the news that should be obvious and expected, is that 9 of those 10 were quickly returned to the owner by the TSA agents, who, you know, saw, I don't know if they had a sticker or if it was just something on the lock screen or something. They saw that there was contact information. 9 out of 10 of them were returned. Unfortunately, 1 out of those 10, which was set up with GPS tracking stuff and software on it to identify where it was taken to, 1 of them was taken by a TSA agent to his home and given to his wife. Whoops.
I'm sure probably what was happening, though,
yeah,
is that he was giving it to his wife so that she could track it, because she's probably more technical than he is,
yeah,
so that she could track down the owner and return it properly to its owner.
That's exactly right. Unfortunately, they did wait 15 days to see if he was going to do something like that, and he didn't.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So he said, "I'm so embarrassed."
Embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm so embarrassed. That's probably when he started crying and farting.
That's the right reaction.
Yeah. He said he did actually blame his wife. My wife says she got the iPad and brought it home. I guess, is she also an agent? Maybe. Anyway.
Maybe she just comes to his workplace at the end of his day and just rummages through his shit.
Yeah.
What's this you've got here, darling? Oh, I don't know, just an iPad I found today. Look, I can't talk right now, I'm busy, there's a terrorist over here. Okay, that's fine, I'll wait.
Yeah. His wife actually owned up to it and said to the reporters that she had taken the iPad and not told her husband. Unfortunately for her and for him, there was clear video footage of him taking the device. So pretty bizarre and sucked in. Yet another, possibly one of the 381 TSA officers who were fired for theft between 2003 and 2012.
But how many terrorists did they caught during that time?
Zero.
Oh.
Not even one. Not even one.
Next story.
Next story.
Next story.
That's not loud enough, is it? Next story. It says, next story. Pike family's angry. We're coming back to New Zealand. Pike family's angry at Prime Minister's mine stance. Frustrated Pike River families say Prime Minister John Key is unwilling to pay to retrieve the bodies of the 29 men trapped in the West Coast coal mine.
Key isn't willing to, or the government isn't willing to, because it's quite different. I don't expect John Key to pay for it. I mean, he could afford to. I don't think we should expect it of him.
Yes, but here's the thing. I don't think money in this case matters one little bit. I think it is a terrible shame for all of these. I mean, this is 29 men died in that hole, right? That is fucking tragic. That is a really terrible. Whoever took over, Solid Energy, I think, purchased the mine from the former owner, and they've said that they will provide all the equipment required. But here's the thing. They can't get anyone who will do it because it's so fucking dangerous. This is not about money. This is about making a decision as to how many lives should be lost in trying to get these dead bodies out of the hole. What is the arithmetic there? What is a fair number of additional deaths that these families would like to see happen to get those bodies out?
What condition? It's probably, I don't know if it matters, but what condition is a body going to be in after this time?
It'd be a rotten, bubbling mess, probably, wouldn't it?
I would assume so. Is it skeletal now, or is it?
I guess it depends on how wet it is down there, and whether they are all buried under.
Maybe there's also not much oxygen, so maybe that helps. I don't know.
It might help. I mean, who knows what the bodies are like? But the reality is that getting these bodies out, I mean, the explosion happened for a reason, right? It wasn't safe when it was operating. Yeah, it's definitely not safe now. If they can safely get the bodies out, they will. They can't, all right? So they haven't. At some stage, it might be possible. So far, it hasn't been. So for these now, I am no fan of John Key. I think he's a fucking dickhead. And his stance of refusing to be given any information or read any documents or take any, you know, useful meetings is hopefully coming back to bite him on the ass now. We'll see. But in this case, he's fucking right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is a tragedy on an individual basis, but if lives are seriously put at risk to recover, you know, bodies, that doesn't seem justifiable.
It's terrible, isn't it? So Solid Energy said he'd been told that, Bernie Monk, who's a spokesman for one of the families, said that Solid Energy would provide the equipment if they could find people willing to enter just the first part of the mine. They have found, I think, it sounds like, no one. So anyway, at some stage maybe it'll happen, but I just think it's very unreasonable to expect anyone to go in there when it's clearly unsafe. If it was safe, they would have done it. You know, it's a collapse risk and so on. It's obviously it's got explosive gas pockets in there, or the thing wouldn't have blown up.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is a tragic story.
Next story.
Another story that I don't find quite so tragic is the story of this 18-year-old. Is it a woman? Yes, a woman. Should I call her a girl if she's 18? I don't know. I'll get in trouble probably.
Yeah, borderline.
Teenager's stomach removed after drinking cocktail. So it must have had a lot of alcohol in it, right? Wrong. Well, possibly. I mean, it probably did. It also had liquid nitrogen, which is, you know, you don't need to be a chemistographer to know liquid nitrogen's real cold.
How do you even drink that? I mean, how does it not... I don't even understand how you make a cocktail with liquid nitrogen in it.
See, now, my hunch is that she had to do everything wrong in this case, because the nitrogen would evaporate really quickly. All you have to do is take a sip and then breathe out the cloud, you know, the smoky looking cloud of nitrogen gas that evaporates off your tongue, and everything will be fine if you do that. But if you take a big fucking gulp and drink it down, everything won't be fine, because the place that it evaporates will be in your stomach, and it'll be very cold in there, so you'll get lots of ice damage in your loving cells, and it'll also expand, and that gas has to go somewhere. You know, usually you can burp it out, but if you friggin' sculled a bunch of stuff down, which is going to expand hugely, that's going to be a problem. Anyway, so she froze and stretched her stomach, and the surgeons took the whole thing out, which is
pretty... That must be pretty serious. How do you even... What happens then?
I don't know. You have a hard time maintaining weight for the rest of your life, I imagine. You know, there are various bits in your guts which can be reduced in size. You know, there are different bits that play different parts. She'll still have her intestines, they'll be able to do their bit. But, yeah, you know, it's a dangerous game to play, drinking liquid nitrogen. You know, it's easy to predict, actually, isn't it? Should you drink liquid nitrogen? Nah.
I still can't understand. I mean, I can't understand how it didn't just freeze the things that were also there.
Yeah. What do you mean?
It's very peculiar.
Well, oh, do you mean why didn't it just turn everything in the glass into ice?
Yeah.
Right. I imagine it probably did partially. I've seen on various of these TV cooking shows, chefs make instant ice cream by just pouring liquid nitrogen into like a bowl with milk and whatever flavorings and cream and eggs, and, you know, sort of make an instant sort of a custard. And then it freezes really quickly. But of course, probably what they did for it to be visually exciting in the bar, wherever they made these drinks, is would have mixed up a cocktail and then probably poured liquid nitrogen on top of it. And then, like, you would have got that cloud pouring over the edge and looking really, you know, kind of cinematic. And then, you know, I bet if she just waited 2 minutes, it would have been fine. It would have all been gone.
Yeah. Very exciting. Apparently, she was transported from Oscar's Wine Bar to the hospital.
Right.
And while Lancashire police have not officially named the place where she bought the cocktail... Oh, sorry. Lancashire police have not officially named the place where she bought the cocktail, but say Oscar's has stopped selling it.
Right.
What?
All right.
We don't know where she bought it, but the place where she bought it doesn't sell it anymore.
All right. Well, that's pretty clear then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, that's a good piece of advice for the listeners. Anyway, don't drink
liquid nitrogen.
Next story.
And if you do, hold it in your mouth until the cloud...
No, don't do that either. You'll just don't put it in your mouth. You'll get very, very badly burned.
I don't know that that's necessarily true either.
You can do it with dry ice because you've got to be careful. Water in your mouth and have dry ice, have a piece of dry ice basically sublimating on the water.
Yeah.
But you can't. Yeah, that was me making that noise.
Yeah.
But you can't do that with liquid nitrogen because it's a liquid. It doesn't just.
So it'll just pour down your gob.
No, it'll just sit on your tongue and burn the shit out of all your skin.
That's all right.
Oh, okay.
Your tongue will heal itself really fast.
Better than swallowing it, I suppose. But
far
still,
better than swallowing it. Nothing's going to burst in your tongue. And mouth parts, mouth injuries, I think, heal really quickly. Now, an injury that's not going to heal very quickly.
Next story.
Is the injury that Samsung has suffered in this case that Apple won against them. And various documents have been now unredacted, it seems, in the case. And we've all heard the claim that, you know, there were explicit memoranda from Octopi, from the Samsung executives saying, copy the iPhone. Right.
Yeah, no, I believe that the wording was something along the lines of the user experience between the iPhone and our phones is like heaven and hell.
Yeah.
And then basically copy the iPhone. That was what it said.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you, for the first point to rebut there, in the actual document, which is now unredacted, they never say heaven and hell. They say it's the difference between heaven and earth. So to get that fundamental thing wrong is pretty astonishing. But they also never at any stage say copy the iPhone. In fact, what they specifically say is the iPhone has set a new benchmark and we need to use our creativity and our market difference to, you know, advance ourselves past the iPhone. They never say copy the iPhone. They go out of their way to say we're going to beat them at this game by playing it our way.
And now, you know the patent that was used to stop, to get an injunction against selling, I don't know, the Galaxy Note and a bunch of smartphones?
Yeah.
The patent that was used was basically part of Siri. It was a patent that had been, there was a fantastic article in New York Times which goes into a lot of details, but also mentions this. And the patent was, and I can't remember the number, 84 million something something, 809.
Yeah.
It had been applied for, I think, 7 or 8 times by Apple and rejected all the times it had been applied for until the last one, obviously.
Yeah.
And it essentially describes, in broad terms, a system whereby, from a single interface, you can search both the internet and local content.
Right. And doesn't Explorer? I think Explorer can do that, can't it?
Well, and because you now have on those phones a little Google search box, and you can type it in there and search on the web, as well as through your contacts and various pieces of internal content. That was the infringing aspect of it.
Right.
The patent doesn't describe how to do this thing or any specific technical concept behind it. It just is the idea of having one search place to search multiple things.
Right. That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Patents are a fucking pain in the ass. But anyway, I hope that Samsung appeal based on this and that they win. This is insane. The claims that Apple's lawyers made were just absolute fucking lies.
Well, they summarised certain parts of it while deliberately leaving out other parts of it that gave it context.
But their summaries were false.
The summaries not only were false, they presented the exact opposite impression than
that's,
what was true.
That's right. And the truth is, Samsung, well, according to these, whether in reality, Samsung copied or not. You know, that is a different argument. But these documents were presented as evidence that they had. And according to these documents, they didn't. It's incredible.
And were encouraged not to.
It is incredible to me. I just can't believe it. Anyway, let's get... Oh, have you got an Urban Dictionary? Do it quickly while I get it ready.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
Heads, okay, let me just click
Urban Dictionary,
up.
Word of the week.
All right. So I'll go up here and I'll click. Sorry, I'm being attacked by a baby. Your word is racist.
1 minute.
Racist.
Racist.
Now, everyone knows what this is. This is people. It's mainly actually an American term. This is for people who like American-made cars, muscle cars and so on, and they don't think little four-bangers and turbocharged little Japanese imports are any good. They are racists.
That is racist.
It is racist, you're right.
No, you're racist in thinking that was what it means.
Ricist, but I assume someone has a bias against the excessive use or ownership of rice. It's right there in Urban Dictionary.
That one's really weak.
You're all wrong.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Dylan.
Okay, yep.
Now, Red Dwarf is a show that probably predates you being born on account of you're young. It's just started again, and it's just the same as it used to be, which means hit and miss. I guess that's all we've got time for. Discourse Co. Slash. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. I love you. Thank you. Goodbye. We might have a guest.
One.
Yay.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
We're using that one.
Fucking down to the goddamn wire. That last minute went really, really quickly, almost.
So you've seen the new Red Dwarf?
I've seen the first episode of the new Red
Dwarf. Does it not suck?
It doesn't. That's the special sucked real hard. The new Red Dwarf feels very, very, very much like the old Red Dwarf, which means that it's not all good, because the old Red Dwarf also was not all good. It's really very much like that. Kat's performance is not quite as good as it used to be, and the others are very similar to how they were before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Chris Berry's never changed, and Robert Llewellyn is obviously basically a robot.
Yeah, yeah. I think his makeup, there's something a bit funny about around the mouth. That I wonder if that means that, I don't know. Anyway, I haven't compared it to the old makeup, but it feels like something's wrong. Something's wrong. Like they had to remake it or something, and they just got it, you know, for whatever reason, it's not as good somehow.
Maybe his face has got fatter. Hey, I've got a baby to put to bed.
All right.
I can, should we go, or do you want to wait 10 minutes while I do that, and then we'll see if there's anything to overflow? There probably isn't.
I've only got one more story, and that is about replacing Windows 8's start menu, missing start menu. Honestly, I can't be bothered. So I say that's probably it. They will probably do.
As you can hear, I'm complaining about it, about the hanging around. See? Here's my complaints.
Yep.
You're not going to do it now, are you? No? Fine. He won't perform.
He won't preform?
Perform.
Preform?
Perform.
Perform?
He won't perform. Proforma?
Perform. Oh, right. Stop mispronouncing that word willfully.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.